opinion seems to be that half past seven, he's having him got a clock in, you know, I don't like preaching in places where there's a clock very much. But I would like to welcome you all to Terrapin, and it's me saying that, never having been inside Terrapin Chapel in my life before. So thank you, first of all, for the welcome you've given me. And I welcome anybody else who doesn't know the way about, because I understand that you do have a pretty happy evening. I just hope that I can lead you towards that. We'll start with the first harvest hymn of all, of course, number 15. The one we open just about every harvest service with, Come Ye Thankful People Come, Raise the Song of Harvest. Today for the fruits of the earth and all their variety and all their
so many things we should have done. And we just ask you now that you would forgive us. That you would help us to live the sort of lives that you really intended for us. We would ask you to bless this service. This service of praise and thanksgiving. Please be with us. Accept our praises. Hear our prayers, Lord. Be with us in the quiet times as we think and listen. And may your Holy Spirit bless everything that is done in this place, so that it may be to your glory. Lord, we do thank you that you are a forgiving God. We do thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ into us, Lord. First, to show us what you are like, but then to make a wonderful way to you through the sacrifice of himself to all those who believe. Lord, we would say with the man whose daughter was sent to hear in the Bible, Lord, we believe. Help those parts of us that are still in unbelief. Lord, bless this service in every way. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now would you turn to number 5, the power of the thing that on the bank. Number 5. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root out also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I like that reading ever so much, because to me it gives a bit of an answer to one of the big questions of the world. Question that everybody's really asking at some time or other, why is there that much trouble in the world? And then a lot of people then go on and say, if there is a God, why doesn't he do something about it? And I believe, and I really do believe, that this little bit of the Bible does tell us an awful lot of the reason behind it. When Jesus was describing this afterwards, he said, well, you know, there's good and bad people. But I believe also that the devil sows tares pretty widely, and it gets into each one of us as well. There's tares in me, I know. Tares, if you don't know what the Bible means there, it means weeds. There's things that's not right in me, and as likely there's things not perfect in some of you as well. I don't know. some of them bad things have been me, some of the bad things have been you guys. And it would be very painful and uncomfortable if he did that. So, as I said, they both go together until the harvest. But I believe that God provided a wonderful way of our getting rid of the wrongs within us through Jesus' life, and his death, and his resurrection, through the cleansing power that that can give to anybody who believes. I think that's God's way of dealing with sin. It's a wonderful way. It's a very merciful way, and it's a way that we should always take advantage of. But I did just want to say that, because it's something I do feel strongly about. And now we'll sing another hymn. It's number 10. We thank thee, Lord, for this fair earth, glittering sky, the silver sea, for all thy beauty, all thy work, thy light and glory, come from thee. straight away out to the service. And then there is maybe tea. You know, there's a really good tea. That's all I know. I don't know what time that starts. It depends what time I finish. There's a million top notes. And it's a bit difficult to put this, but in a minute we're having a collection. And while we're having a collection, we're going to sing Bringing in the Cheese, at least the ones that know it are going to sing it, because it is the one that's booked. It isn't the book. And I'm sure the Mariners know it, and they can lead us in Bringing in the Cheese. But this meal that we're being provided with is free. So, and yet, you know, this chapel is in need of money, very much indeed. So if you think about who the thing's going to be and put a little bit extra in the collection, I'm sure it'll be welcome. And the reason is, apart from the normal expenses, they had to replace part of the floor in this chapel. Worse than that, there's another part of the floor still to be replaced. And I am not telling you which part of the just in case anybody, you know, wasn't quite as enthusiastic about the singing as it might have been. So we would ask you to be very generous during the taking of the collection. I wonder if anyone from any other chapels, I know we're getting late in the harvest time now, but if anyone from any other chapels like to make any announcements about their harvest services.
Sunday afternoon.
I suppose I got to the house, I can get to Agnes, can't you? Yeah, Agnes. And are you taking the answer?
No, all right.
What time is it? 2:30, 6:30?
2:30 in the afternoon, and
half past 7
Tuesday night.
Half past 7
Any others?
Glen May, Sunday night.
And May Sunday night, number 6?
Yes.
Right. Now, there's one other announcement. The next big gathering in this chapel, I shouldn't really say that, because it might be, we hope there'll be a big gathering on Sunday. But there's an extra big gathering here on the 4th of January, because that's the Ilvary. Book that date now, the Ilvary on the evening of 4th.
Paul Gary is having a Sankey on the 15th of November.
Sure. These are all dates for us to miss. There'll be something at Orisville. There'll probably be two or three things by the time you've made your little berry, but we don't know what they are yet. But you're all as well. Right. Could the stewards now take a hop on and we sing Railway Machine.
Morning, 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 morning.
sheaves of ourselves. Lord, we do ask that you would use us to your glory. Lord, we do ask you too that you would accept all our prayers for those in trouble and sorrow around us. All those who we know who would love to be here and who cannot because of sickness or because of trouble or because of bereavement. Lord, we would just remember those who are sad and those who are ill. And all those for whom our prayers are answered. Lord, be with them, we pray, and accept our intercessions in Jesus' name. Amen. My other reading comes from Father John. We're going to have two hymns together, but I have another hymn before the reading. It's hymn number 14. Now the year is trying to now the year is crowned with blessing as we gather in the glen, and our grateful thanks expressing, loudly raise a joyous strain. Bygone days of toil and sadness cannot now our peace destroy, for the hills are clothed with
now the year is crowned with blessing, as we go.
soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon he bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. And usually, if I'm taking the harvest series, I try and sort of think around what sort of year we had and what sort of the harvest has been. And of course, I happen to come this year to the one place where everything has gone wrong. Is that right, Carl? The one place where, you know, the harvest has been good, and also on top of it, there's got some grass. Not just the one place, but, you know, a lot of the island. In fact, you could almost say the island is in two parts. There's the Isle of Man and the Third World. The third world being Andres, Rowing, Jervy, and you don't realise it being here. I mean, those ones there have had, you know, they've had a great grand harvest. Pretty near everybody's had a very, very good grain harvest. Only trouble is around there, they've eaten half of it already, some of them. And it's amazing that on a small island like this, you know, you can have such a difference between plenty, I'm talking about grass, and not plenty of money, I think, but plenty of grass, and very, very little indeed. And I was talking to John Tier, you probably know John Tier about there. You know, if you want to be set right on what the conditions are in the north, he's the man to ask, and I just happened to see him on the roadside in Reykjavik today. And things still aren't any better down that way. So, you know, I don't want to be flippant about this, because obviously the real third world is in a far worse situation than anything like that. But just spare a thought for them, men. And probably they spare a thought for you now and again. You never know. But isn't it amazing that all over the island people have been praising God for the harvest? And I happen to know that in the north they praise Him just the same love and fervour and happiness as they have here. And yet that's generally a little bit earlier in their harvest than you have out here. When we talk about harvest, I mean, I'm talking to you as though you're all farmers. And of course you're not all farmers. But everybody, I suppose, has that harvest, doesn't it? Even if it's a window box. You have a bit of a harvest out of the window box, and it's enough to praise God for it. And farmers, of course, that more particular harvest. And the longer the days since we just thought about the grain being a harvest, there's so many other things involved. We've seen an awful lot of it here in front of us. All sorts of parts of the world. Now, we come specially to praise and worship God for the bounty that He has given to us during this year. And it is a special occasion, because really it's the only time we do this. Sometimes we have flower festivals and things like that, and we remember the flowers and the beautiful things of nature. But this is the one time for most of us when we do have the chance to say thank you to God for His creation. And we know, we've got to be realistic, because we know that the world isn't perfect anymore. And I believe it's sin, one way or another, that sees to that. And still there are lots of things which have gone right and which we pray for God for. And you get surprises too. I was mentioning the how, and I don't mind mentioning it again, really. One of the great joys I've had this year, and I get a lot of pleasure out of seeing, you know, trees full of big crops and all that, and lots of grass and all. But haven't the red champions and things on the roadside been marvellous this year? They've been, not just them, but all sorts of them, just calmly, I could say calmly garden plant weeds on. Some of them have got a tremendous show. And I decided, as far as my garden, and the trouble is I garden in a very public place and everybody sees what I'm doing. So I decided, right, the weeds are coming up well. had invented all these good things, and that somehow he sustains them. And I believe, secondly, that God allows us to be part of his plan. We all know that story about this old gardener who was complimented by a city gent who was passing by for the wonderful plants and vegetables and everything coming up in his plot. And the old gardener said, well, I didn't always used to be like this. He said, you know, you've done very well, the city gent says, and you ought to give praise to God. You know, God can do wonderful things in the garden. And the old gardener said, you should have seen it when God had it on his own. You all know that story, I'm sure. But I believe that God could have made trees and gardens. He could have made a great big Garden of Eden on the whole place. But he chooses to work through us. I believe he could have chosen other ways of building his kingdom on earth. But he has decided in his wisdom and his love to do it through us. And particularly through our prayers. God could have stamped out sin in the world and evil in the world, but he graciously lets us help him in conquering. And thirdly, I believe it isn't just what God has done in the past. It's very much what he's doing now. You know, God isn't somebody who's in the Bible, and that's it, and that's all there is. God is actually now, and I firmly believe that. He's involved too in things great and things small. But I just wish I could remember what the occasion was, but it's the 21st of August. And my wife and I were very concerned about something, and we did pray about it. You know, we were that concerned, and we prayed about it. It was about that time. And it was only a small thing. And our prayers were answered, you know, prayers are answered, I think we all know this. Our prayers were answered, 21st of August. At the same time, millions of people were praying to God for the situation in Russia. That was the day when, the sort of critical day when things could have gone one way or the other. And they went the way that people were praying. And I believe that God was concerned with big things there, and he was concerned with little things with us. And I think that's how he is. That's the sort of Lord I believe. But just to my text. It's a text you may not have had at Harvest before, but I just like to think about it a bit, because particularly because this is Kerakeel. Jesus said in John 4:38, he said, other men labored, and you have entered into their labors. If you think of farmers, starting to farm. Okay, if you went out to the Midwest 100 years ago, you'd have been given a new block of land, a virgin block of land that nobody had ever done anything with, and you'd have farmed it. But it isn't like that now if you start farming, is it? You don't come new to a farm, you've gone to a farm that somebody else has done something with, and you can go back and back and back. Farms are built up and handed on by generations that have gone, that have come and gone. And we remember them. And I just brought, wherever it is, I just brought this. I mean, you can't all see it, never mind. But that's a map done in 1888. Except I covered it the other day. But it's a map of Kerakeel. It's got Kerakeel Chapel on it. It's got all the field boundaries on, and it's got some of the ditches on, and, you know, it's got farmsteadings on, more or less as they are now, in a lot of ways. I think, you know, we do need to remember those ones who made the hedges, who dug the drains, who made the steadings, and who really have added to the generations and generations of farming experience that there is around here. Now, if that happened now, we couldn't afford three hedges. We couldn't afford to dig all the drains, storm drains they took. Okay, if we got all the scallop shells, we can do a lot. But, you know, you couldn't imagine anybody nowadays putting all those drains in, building all those hedges. Do you think perhaps how wealthy they might? did things because I needed doing. Just thinking, before I came, we got an old hen, which is about 3 years old, and she's off her legs. And my wife and I, instead of pulling her neck, we've been persevering with this old hen, and we must spend an hour a day, you know, giving her a drink in the morning, first thing, and she feeds her on the girl, and then I feed her on the girl, and I come in. I mean, if you put that at £5 an hour, I mean, there's no way you would do it, is there? Not an old hen. But we do it because it needs doing. I know it sounds a bit flippant. The generations of farmers have done things because they need doing, and not because the economics of it. We remember those, I just good to remember those people around here who have gone before us. We can remember them for our simplicity, for our single-mindedness, I think, for the sort of agricultural faith that they had, the faith of seed time and power never failed. It didn't. They had some tough tools, but seed time and harvest didn't fail, and they had this faith. They had a hard time, but they had a measure of faith in what they did. And I think nearly all of them became characters, and a lot of them became Christian characters. Now, okay, there's people nowadays who become characters, and there's some of them in this room, I'm sure. We aren't short of characters yet. But just to think of the Christian characters, because often it was those same people who had built up the farms and handed them on, who also had the faith to build chapels like Tarakini and to keep them going and to build them up. And they had the same sort of certainty to go that they had with farms. But here they were different too. The certainty of God's word and his promises. The certainty that God heard their prayers. I mean, they didn't doubt about that. They didn't argue about it. They just believed it. The certainty of sins forgiven if they would only repent. The certainty of a heavenly home when they died. If they didn't do it. You know, they were men of certainty. And I think it's just good to remember them now. Just like they were in farming, they saw things in black and white. And I believe we nowadays are in danger of losing something that's really precious. I mean, in some ways we're losing the farms and we're losing the communities they built on. In some ways we're losing the old farming experience they had. Not altogether yet, but we will do that. The things they built up and passed on. But, and more important, we are losing that symbol of faith and our certainty that they build up in Palestine. I think some of us are being made to be people that we weren't really meant to be. I think we know too much these days. Or rather, I think people tell us too much. You know, you can't make your mind up. I've seen this sometimes with people with all sorts of qualifications go on farming. They know that much. They never know which way to go. And where somebody with just a simple faith and little knowledge of what's right, what's wrong, will go on and make a wonderful job. I think the old devil's been having a real thing today the last few years, the last 20, 30 years, sowing his tears, his doubts, his bad standards, causing us to doubt God's word, the Bible, and many, many other things. And he's been having a real field day, and he's lost so much of what those old ones passed on to us, those old ones who sort of people built this chapel. Whatever my faults, and some of you, probably a lot of you know my faults, and I don't want to know afterwards what they are, or any lips or anything like that. So whatever my fault, at least I've got a few certainties in my life. And they do concern the Lord Jesus Christ and his place in my life. And I'm certain about that. And I'd just love to pass them on. And, you know, the hymn says, let me commend my Saviour to you. That means an awful lot to me. And yet, although all this is going on, although things are changing,
changes so much. God is so patient. He still wants us to build his kingdom. He still wants us to be laborers in his vineyard. Although he could do it all by himself, he still wants to use us. So, don't let the world and the flesh and the devil snatch all these precious things for us. You want to think, and think what is precious and what is certainly in your life, and hang on to it. I believe you can get a glimpse of those things, a glimpse of this, even in a place like Carrickie tonight. So just think, what will you build up and pass on? Now, I found this old form, and this is, some of you have heard a certain advertisement on the television. I've hardly ever heard it. This man comes from Norfolk, he advertised the turkeys. So this was a poem written to somebody from where I come from, where he comes from, same sort of thing. It's called Old George's Sermon. I thought he was sure, but you know, in some ways it typifies those people who were different. I worked in this hay field, wheat, mangels, barley and hay for very near 40 years. But the Almighty here worked on it since the very beginning of creation. And whether you know it or no, he's working with us today. So let us do our job properly. Do all his work will be wasted. Don't you say only a labourer, because we're labourers together with God. Amen. So can we finish?